Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Hey, happy Friday, everybody. Paul Hamilton will join us in just a moment. Bulldog is off again today. I'm Mike Shope here with Sneaky Joe DiBiase. How about that Watson story? So I wasn't, not that you should care, I wasn't focused on the Sabres and Jeff Skinner for most of the morning. I didn't realize there was going to be a press conference with Skinner and Ralph Kruger. And so we will talk some about that, including, as I'm saying, with Paul just in a minute. Thinking about like the magnitude of the conflict. Like, so here's Joe again with the Deshaun Watson update. That is hot, right? I mean, Watson is like, reportedly at least, I'll never play for this team again. And the Texans, again, reportedly, are so dug in. I mean, teams kind of do the same thing. They just sometimes sound different. But this is, oh, we don't even care about deadlines. There's just no way we're doing that. They have the hammer. So that's pretty good. Like that's a star player. So that's an A or an A plus. It's like maybe it's only an A because it's still not even March. But right now, I mean, that's really good for not even like football versus hockey. That's really good. The quarterback of the Texans, a star player, led the league in passing yards. In that with the long term contract.
24 years old.
Like, everything.
It's all perfect.
It's perfect. It's an A. Skinner and the Sabres is no higher than a B, but B's okay. Like, B is something. If it's a C or lower, I don't know if I'm talking about it at all. Like, it's just, oh, Oposo wants more minutes, you know, or something. Like, I don't know if it really rates, but Skinner's not Deshaun Watson. I mean, he's not Jack Eichel. If it's Jack Eichel, then it's, you know, maybe in the A class. But Skinner's salary and his career, but the career leads to the salary. His salary makes it, you know, it rates high in terms of giving this thing a grade. So we did have both the coach and the player commenting today. Paul Hamilton was privy and involved in both conversations and joins me now on the West Her Hotline. Why wait, Paul? I mean,
well let's Mike, go. I was misled. Joe made me think we were going to talk about the best fish fries, this being Friday.
Oh.
I didn't realize we were going to talk about hockey.
Well, you and Joe can talk about that if you want.
Is there a difference between fish fry to fish fry?
No, you know what the thing is about that? So, like, we have these drafts, and sometimes people make suggestions for drafts and say, okay, so fish fries, right, or something like that. But, you know, how would the conversation sound to listen to? I'd be like, that one's the best. Oh, it's so good. You'd be like, oh, this one's the best. It's so good, though. And then Joe would be like, oh, no, that one is the best. That is so good. You know, it probably would get boring pretty fast. But do you have a favorite? Paul? What did I say that was so wrong? What did I say that was so bad for Paul to just hang up?
We'll reconnect.
About time I got hung up on. All right, well, I don't know. Bulldog has it likes to point out Paul has an effect sometimes on the show, and I think maybe we just witnessed it. 10,000th show, Bulldog's not even here.
No, he's in Amarillo, which by pictures
today. How do you miss
today,
the 10,000th show?
By pictures today, Amarillo looks exactly like Arizona, by the way. I had to look up where it is in Texas. Texas is huge.
Yes, it is.
And it's nowhere near, like, I have an aunt that lives in Houston. It's almost not even Texas.
It's West Texas, right?
Like,
isn't he?
North, like the,
oh, okay.
What do you call
north
it?
Of Dallas?
Not the panhandle. It's like the, that little rectangle part of Texas.
Yeah, that little
that
section.
Up.
It's up there?
Yeah.
Amarillo?
Like stealing from Oklahoma. That
oh,
part.
Yeah? I've never been there. Paul? What the heck? All right, well, Paul's not there. Where was I? First, the very beginning of the show. Joe is making, oh, wow, this is bad. It's notable. It's like, it's a little bit less than this Skinner thing because the team isn't good either, right? So you want to take a side in this, and I would say that I would be more on Skinner's side of this. If the team were good, then you would give the coach more of the benefit of the doubt. I mean, that's obvious. But you don't have that here either. And that makes it really tough, I think, for Kruger, that the team isn't winning his way. And he's got this process in mind, and he's got culture and all those words I really hate. He's got all that he's working on, and what he's got going with Skinner is from that. It's part of that. But like if you're in last place, I don't even really know that I want to hear your argument, you know? So that is part of the equation here with the Sabres. All right, Paul is back. Paul, what did you do?
My internet somehow dropped out. I don't know. That's never happened to me using the equipment that we have here. It just didn't say connected anymore, but the lights were still flashing that I had internet, and then all of a sudden when I just kept trying and trying, it reconnected. So as you know, I'm not real tech savvy, so... Mm-hmm. Me, it's just see if I can keep hitting buttons here and see what happens, and then finally reconnected.
Paul has learned how to convert audio files, though, in recent times.
That sounds like something useful.
Yeah.
Let's get to work. Paul, what did you learn today about the situation?
Well, not much. I mean, again, and I've told you this before, Jeff Skinner is a very classy individual. He handles everything with grace, and he says the right things, and he's not going to say anything to inflame or anything like that, and... You know, people might say, yeah, right, when he said he wants to be here. But if you just listen to what he had to say and the way he said it, I believed him that he still wants to be here, that he's not looking to move on. You know, he had said, you know, when you remember the press conference when he signed and everything, that, you know, he wanted to be here, and when he asked, would you rather be on another team with another coach, he emphatically said no, and he said, I love being a Sabre. I love the city of Buffalo. I wouldn't have chosen to stay here if that wasn't the case, so that answer is simple.
What do you suppose? Oh, I'm sorry.
He was pretty emphatic about it, too. I mean, you know, sometimes you can be pretty skeptical when you're talking to athletes or coaches or GMs or something like that, but I believed him.
I thought he was sincere. You're around him way more often than I am, so I just want to qualify my guess that way. What do you suppose his agent calling the team was about? Is it you think it's just sort of, hey, he calls the GM, right? What's going on? Is that what that's the reason for that? That's the point?
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't sound like with what Jeff said that he asked for a trade. Or anything like that. It's just like, you know, what are you doing to my client here? He might have said, my client loves being a Sabre. Why are you doing this to him? You know, what's the coach's thinking to do this? And what does the coach think he's going to gain out of this? And, you know, that maybe is the way, you know, he just wanted answers. How long is this going to last? What does Jeff have to do to be able to be a regular on this team again? You know, I think... You know, thinking that those would be the kind of questions that they'd be asking, mm-hmm. you know. And, but as I said, it doesn't sound like a trade was discussed.
If I have this right, Ralph Krueger said today about that call that he didn't know about it.
He said, absolutely. He knew not. He goes, he said to Mike Harrington, who asked the question, he goes, until you just said that's the first I've heard of it. I knew nothing about it.
That's tough for a coach because I think he could look bad either way. Let's also assume that he's being honest when he says that. It's weird, at least, because we all knew about it, right? Like, how does the coach not know about it?
I find it weird because he claims, and Kevin Adams claims, and I have no reason to believe not, I'm not in the room, that they talk numerous times daily. So that happened a day or two ago. So you mean to tell me in your numerous calls daily, Kevin Adams didn't bring up that Jeff Skinner's agent called?
It's dicey, Paul. Like, if I'm Adams, what is it? How does this make me look? Like, if a $9 million on my player on my team, his agent calls me, and let's just say it was a civil conversation, I think we're at a point, you and I agreed on this yesterday, that this is Krueger's operation. Like, this is mm-hmm. his decision and his move. So the agent calls the GM. I guess that's protocol, not the coach. Maybe you call the GM first. You're like, what are the Sabres doing? And then you have Krueger say today he didn't even know about it. That makes Adams look bad. Like, why wouldn't Adams immediately go to Krueger and have a conversation about this?
I didn't think of it that way, but you're right. Now that I do think of it that way, I think it does make him look bad. You know, especially since they say that they talk numerous times daily. And why wouldn't they?
What do they talk about?
Would talk numerous times daily. So that makes Adams look worse. It's like, what, did you forget? Did you forget that you talked to the agent and you forgot to tell your coach?
Yeah, that's bad. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard from Adams. We haven't heard from Adams on anything.
I have asked for him each of the last 3 days, 2 days, and said that he – haven't gotten no, but just gotten no for that specific day. It seems like it's coming. We just don't know when.
I tried to get him when the thing with the Devils happened. And that I was told the league was in charge of the communications on that for the beginning of that when the Sabres were then, you know, delayed. Their season was delayed. And then another time I was told no. I don't know. Like, if I'm the GM, I would kind of guess that they would have had a conversation. If they haven't, that's bad. If they have, you know, why would Krueger say different?
And Kevin Adams said when he was hired, talking to the media, that I will always be available. You know, all you got to do is call. I will. Now, the NHL thing, I get. The
sure,
NHL asks
too.
Teams not to comment on it and let them do it. So he was, in that case, when he turned you down, following what the NHL
yep.
wanted teams to do.
Yeah, thanks. I didn't mean to imply that he wasn't. I just pointed out that we asked for him a couple times, and that's what happened.
But other times, yeah, it's going against what he said in his original press conference.
You know, we're talking about how the coach said, what the coach said and how he sounded and also how Skinner sounded and what he said. We just had in sports Krueger saying how, I mean, just like such a cliche, it's always good for a player to step back and watch, right? And Skinner is like, yeah, I'm not learning anything doing it that way, right? Like, it's another reason to feel like Skinner is just sort of coming at you straight.
He is, but he's not, as I said, he's not, you know, ripping anybody. He's just basically saying, I've seen a lot of games. He goes, I've watched a lot of hockey, and I found you don't learn anything extra by not being out there, is how he put it.
Yeah. And the coach is kind of speaking for all hockey when he says, well, you know, it's always good, just like you've heard every coach say over the years. And Skinner is like, well, not me.
For an 18-year-old rookie, it's good.
Sure,
I mean,
maybe.
Sometimes they get up top and they can see things they don't see on the ice, but for somebody who's been in the league for over 700 games.
Yeah, as long as this is another thing that just says it says dysfunction, because like Krueger isn't speaking for Skinner when he says how it's going. Watching these three games now, so they haven't. Also, you know what else? Who was it? Was it both guys? Who was asked whether they've talked? This was yesterday, maybe, where I was thinking about this. Where I guess it would have been Krueger, right? I'm trying to.
They were
piece
asked
it together
today.
Now.
Yeah, they were asked today, and Jeff. What he always says, and he, no matter what the topic, he's always said this. He goes, yes, we've talked, and we've, you know, talked about different things, but he said it doesn't benefit anybody for me to make that public.
Yeah, he and that is what Krueger said last night. Now I'm remembering, on pregame.
Yeah.
And Jeff
has always been that way. He's a firm believer, and you keep things behind closed doors.
Yeah, he said he got a pointed question. Have you talked to him about it? And Ralph Krueger said, it doesn't, he said what you just said, which is like, I won't tell you. But it feels like that's another one. I'm the coach. I'm under attack a little bit here. I would want you to think that I've had every conversation with Kevin Adams, with Jeff Skinner. Isn't that kind of supposed to be a strong point for Krueger? That he communicates that players want to play for him because he's a certain way. And this all sounds like that's not happening.
Yeah, and that's starting to go away a little bit. I mean, players can see the standings, and they can say that they can see last year's standings, and they can say to themselves, this sounded good in the beginning, but where are we? This isn't going anywhere. You know, and it just seems to, like, over and over again be right where we were before. So I think the let's sit around the campfire kumbaya moments are starting to wear a little thin, even in the locker room.
If Skinner had been the extra on the ice for pregame and then gone in, I mean, how do you think that played out last night? I didn't notice, and I asked Joe earlier, was that like a story last night, how Eichel can't go and then Thompson is the extra, and how that also could have been Jeff Skinner?
Yeah, that's embarrassing. And we talked about this yesterday. They embarrassed him by not having him in the morning skate. And then they embarrass him that somebody gets hurt in warm-up. And Tage Thompson's the guy that goes into the game because he was the guy that was selected to be the extra person in the warm-up.
Right.
And to be fair, Jeff Skinner may not even have been in the building yet. Yes, he's going to be there for the game, but if he's not playing and not going to be in warm-up, he might not even been in the building yet when Eichel came in and said he couldn't go because he wouldn't have been expecting to play because Tage Thompson's the one that's dressed in case somebody gets hurt. And to me, that it just embarrasses Skinner again. Why isn't Skinner the guy who, if somebody gets hurt, is going to go into the lineup? You've already had one guy hurt and didn't put him in. Now you've got two and you didn't put him in. To me, that's just embarrassing the player. And, again, did you get more from Tage Thompson than you would have gotten from Jeff Skinner? I doubt it. Tage had another real rough evening.
Yeah, it kind of seems like it doesn't matter who the other player is in these equations.
That guy hardly ever plays. Maybe once a year.
No, I mean, like, the choice of who goes in is not Skinner. That's who goes in.
Yeah. Again, are you trying to prove a point?
Right.
You know what? And more than once in the past 2 days, Krueger has talked extensively about, well, there's things that go on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's convenient.
Yeah. So, all right. But you keep saying this isn't discipline or anything like that. But you said once on Howard and Jeremy's show and once in a press conference that there are things that I can't talk about that go on behind the scenes too. Okay, is that why he can't play? Because of whatever it is behind the scenes? What's that about?
Yeah, I don't know. I hate to be so tired in the first 20 minutes of the show, but I'm sort of exhausted by this already. It's a lot of mind reading, and these guys don't want to tell you most things. And so we're all out here wondering, what do we care about? We care about the fact that Jeff Skinner has 100 years left on his contract at $9 million each, should be here for a long time, shouldn't be past his prime or anything. And you've got a coach who might not be here for another year, can't figure out how to get him right and get him in, and the team is in last. Like, it's not really that interesting. It seems like it's pretty cut and dried here that this is all a problem.
And when Jeff Skinner says, too, that he loves being a Sabre, and I don't doubt that, and he loves the city, I don't doubt that, and he doesn't want to be traded, he may be thinking himself, I can hang out here because I'm going to outlast Krueger, especially with
that
contract.
You know,
all you got to do is look at the standings to figure out that you're probably going to outlast Krueger, and it probably is not going to be too long before you're going to be playing for another coach.
Well, Paul, like you've been around thousands of players, and you get this. Look, we're on the same side, I think, about this situation, but Krueger is not, you know, he's a person. He probably has a reason. Skinner probably did something, right? He probably, whether it's a series of things, whatever it is, some kind of insubordination would be my guess. Like, something that Krueger did not appreciate was said or done.
Maybe he, you know how coaches are. They sit in meetings and they sit in film sessions and they want you to do extra. Maybe he didn't want to do the extra.
Maybe. So my guess is there was some event or some sequence of events that crossed Kruger. What is a coach supposed to do? You've been around thousands of players. We've had dozens of conversations through the years about different guys. What I want the coach to do is just suck it up. And maybe there are times when I would think a coach has to be more severe than that. But the fact that a coach, as transient as coaches are in this league, would have this much power ever is a mistake. I mean, you don't even, and he's saying the GM has not told him anything about, had told him about the conversation with the agent. Like, come on, how do you run a team this way?
Especially with the power that Kruger has been given. I mean, as we've discussed many times, that, you know, the Pegulas are trying to match Bean and McDermott. You know, McDermott was brought in first, was given all sorts of power. He was a defensive coordinator. Next thing you know, he's it. He's in charge. Nobody's going to be questioning him. And then he suggests that Brandon Bean comes in as the GM, but he has a lot of power. And you know, I think Kevin Adams was basically, this is your coach. And he needs to be in on all decisions. And I think they were trying to set up the same thing here. And in the hockey department, well, it goes without saying it's not working in the hockey department the way he did it with the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I'd like to be in Kevin Adams' head right now about all this. Does he feel like he has no say? Like, just what is happening over there? We have to go fast now, and I would never want to blame that on the glitch from earlier. What is the Eichel update?
He didn't rule Jack out, but it didn't sound hugely promising. It's still day-to-day with Allmark. He has been ruled out for the weekend, and then he was hoping it would become day-to-day by the time we get to next week. He said, as a matter of fact, the imaging being done on Allmark was being done as we spoke, so he didn't have a full report on what was going on with him. Toby Reeder's ready to go, and it sounds like Rasmus Ristolainen is ready to go. He, watching practice, it looked like he was one of the 6D with Bryson. And that pair intrigued me. And he said, you know, if things go well, he's got a very good chance of playing. So it sounds like Ristolainen should be back. But Jack wasn't ruled out, but it did sound iffy.
And Jonas Johansson then joins Carter Hutton.
Yeah, they haven't designated yet who's going to go to the roster and who to the taxi squad. Tokarski was there. That's the way they've done it in the past, that Johansson becomes the backup on the roster, and then Tokarski becomes the taxi squad guy. So they haven't designated, but that's likely what's going to happen, is Johansson will back up Hutton.
Odds on Skinner playing tomorrow?
Very good.
Really?
And I was pretty intrigued by the line he was on. I like Casey Mittelstadt back in the middle. You've given him a chance now to get back in the lineup, and now give Skinner an offensive center. Yeah, Riley Shahan's the other winger. But still, we get to see Skinner with somebody who has some offensive ability, and we get to see Mittelstadt again at center and see where he's at in his career. So I kind of liked what I saw there with that line.
Any questions for me, Paul? One-way traffic.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road, any road, the steeper the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
No, you need to teach me how to be more tech savvy, so my little thing here doesn't cut out on me, then I don't know what to do.
That's my specialty for sure.
I was actually going to start talking to you on the phone. I was just picking up the phone to call you, and then it connected again.
I'm glad that it worked out. Thank you, Paul.
Take care.
All right, Paul Hamilton. Joe, you want to say something while I look for what I'm supposed to say? Because I am bad at this, and I never remember.
There is more on Deshaun Watson out from Jeremy Fowler. That it's a staring contest.
Hang on a second.
But you go ahead.
Thank you, Joe. We'll get back to Joe in just a moment, everybody. Paul Hamilton's appearance on WGR is brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Joe, let's break. We'll get to Watson. I'm excited to hear this update.
It's good. I think it's good. I think it's good.
All right, I'm excited for a good update on Watson. Don't go looking, everybody. Hang out with our fine sponsors, and we'll be right back to tell you about it. And look for your calls at 803-0550 if you want to talk about the Skinner deal, Kruger, the rest of it. I'll leave that to you if you want to take a turn after the break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here with Joe DiBiase. This is WGR.
If the Bills do add to the backfield, it sounds like it will be somebody that brings a speed dynamic to the mix, right? Because it sure sounded like Brandon Bean was in on Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. In fact, in his year-end press conference, he said as much. He said, well, we think it would be unfair to blame those guys for the rushing success this year, which leads me to believe that he's pretty in on those two guys.
I know that voice. That is G.I. Joe Marino. Draft Network,
yes, and Locked On Bills.
Locked On, in the Locked On family, like yourself.
Yep.
You guys are locked into the Locked
On. I think we're Locked On brothers, I think, is how that works.
Is that right? Joe is from Grand Island originally, then he went to North Carolina, I think.
I have a friend who just moved to North Carolina.
You do?
Well, everyone seems to be moving to North Carolina.
I always thought that was a reasonable idea, moving there. Lots of people have moved there.
Is that why, though? Because you know people that have moved there?
No.
Okay.
Climate is the number one thing I think of for that idea. Like
my friend who just moved there is golfing, so.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be. You don't need, like, Florida. You don't even want Florida.
No, I don't want Florida.
You want something sort of in the middle, North Carolina. Always seemed like a good idea.
I think you've sold me.
I've only been there a few times, but I have enjoyed it. I got a speeding ticket in North Carolina. On my way back from a wedding, so a close college friend of mine got married in North Carolina. He met a woman who was from there, and so the wedding was there. And he had big sports guy, this guy, like the biggest sports fan maybe I've ever known. True. If Jeremy's listening, Jeremy and I played golf with him a couple years ago. That's the guy. Like the guy wears a Penguins hat and a Pirates shirt and Steeler pants. Just, like, to work. And so he got married in North Carolina. Bunch of us, he wanted 9 groomsmen because he wanted a baseball team. So it was 9 groomsmen and 9 bridesmaids. What a weekend, by the way.
That was the reason? He just wanted to fill out
He wanted a baseball team. Yeah. So it was 9, and maybe she had a big family. I don't think he did. But 9 and 9. So what a weekend. And we're in North Carolina. The party ends, the weekend ends, and I drive back to Rochester. I lived in Rochester there. That's where I knew him from. And I got a ticket, a speeding ticket in North Carolina, and I told another one of my friends who was on the trip, you know, we got back, and I'm like, yeah, I got a ticket. He's like, you don't have to pay that. Unless you live in North Carolina, you don't have to pay that. I'm like, okay, thanks, great, I won't. I was gonna, and now I won't. And the next thing that happened was I got a notice in the mail that my license had been suspended. Like, there are forms you fill out sometimes where it asks you, have you ever had your license suspended? I think that happened with adoption. Have you ever had your license suspended? And my answer is yes. And I blame Sean because Sean told me I didn't have to pay the ticket. And it is kind of like me to just leave it at that. That was good enough for me because Sean said it was fine. So it was fine. So I had to go to DMV, whatever, and pay the fine and pay the extra fine and then have to pay to have the license, get the license back. And then I was okay. That was it.
Wow. You've got some stories for driving.
Me?
Not paying things. Well,
Easy
no,
Pass?
That Easy Pass is different.
That's a better story.
That's a better story.
The Easy Pass
That's
story
a good one too.
Is one of my best stories.
How long did that take before they sent you that notice?
This one, North Carolina?
Yeah, between
months. But you don't know if your license is suspended.
But you would have gotten to a point where you're like, oh, yeah, it was out of your head.
I thought it was over.
Yeah.
He's just like, you don't. Because the same. So we were in college together, and you would get parking tickets in college sometimes. I don't know if I had a car really, but like other guys would. It was just like sometimes a topic of conversation is getting parking tickets in college, and it was always like, you don't have to pay those.
I paid those.
You did?
Now I'm
Now
I'm questioning whether I should have
you
paid
should,
those.
You should have to. That's the point of the ticket. It's not just for you to get the ticket and have it be like, ooh, okay, now I'll do better because I don't want this ticket. No, you have to pay the fine. The Easy Pass story is better.
That's a great story.
It's so bad, though. All of it's bad. It's really the same. It's the same mistake by me in both cases. Which is, I didn't pay attention. So I was just driving. The Easy Pass story is, I'm not David Letterman. Like, I'm not a crazy driver, but instead of going back when they had the toll booths, instead of going 5 miles an hour at Easy Pass, sometimes I might have gone like 18, maybe 20. Never like one of these crazies that just goes way, way too fast.
Just go 40, 50 through it.
Yeah, no. I was never like obnoxious about it, but it was too fast. So you get or at least this is how it used to work, you get a notice that, you know, you get a warning. And I just never opened my mail. Like, it was mail, who needs it? I knew which ones were the bills. You know, I knew which ones were the bills. The phone bill, I knew which ones were the bills. The rest of it, just like, whatever. You're trying to sell me something. I'm not going to open it. I'm still kind of bad like this. I'm 49 years old. I'm still kind of bad like this.
I don't open 80% of my mail.
Every once in a while, you look at it. You got a pile now. I'm single. Every once in a while, you get a pile. I opened some of the mail from the pile, and one was from Easy Pass. This is like, I don't know, 2000. Yeah, 2004 is when this started. So this is like right around then. I opened the envelope, and it said, you are on a 10-year speed suspension. Because you've now been warned 4 times, and that's your last warning. So you're on speed suspension for 10 years. 10 years.
10 years is a
so
long time.
So right after that, my wife and I got married, and we moved to Grand Island. And then you have a bridge toll. So what should I do? Like, no. She would say, well, go to Easy Pass and, you know, find out how to get that fixed. Because you don't want to pay a dollar. When I was starting to live there, it was a dollar. You can't go in the Easy Pass lane. Had to pay $1 every time I went home from here. She's like, you don't want to do that. I'm like, yes, I do. I got a speed suspension. I'm going to serve it. And plus, I love the story. I always want the story. The story makes life worth living. I want the story. So, yeah, I'll pay the $1. It's like, what, $5 a week? I don't care. I got a great story. I go to a party and tell people I'm on a 10-year speed suspension. I'm the coolest guy in the room. That's kind of bad. That's bad to say. It's not cool to get a speed suspension. I guess I felt like it was, but it's not really cool to get a speed suspension. So I just listened to her and like, okay. So I go to the office. There was one right in the center of Grand Island at the time. I go to the office and I say, listen, I've got this speed suspension. Is there any way I can shorten it? What can I do? And the woman said, you have to write a letter. If you write a letter of apology, basically, This is like the Easy Pass rep telling me this. You write a letter of apology, like explaining you recognize what you've done, and you're going to do better. Then they will address it. Then they'll shorten it or just cancel the suspension. I'm like, well, do I have to mean it? Like, I felt like I made a mistake, but I wasn't exactly contrite. I wasn't crazy. I just went a little too fast, and then I just didn't open my mail. I was embarrassed, but I wasn't like sorry about it. You know, it wasn't exactly the way I felt. If I was going to write a letter explaining how I felt about it, it was going to be like, yeah, I was stupid, but I don't know if I would apologize. Apologies should mean something. They should be sincere. Like, I really apologize to you. I did something that I feel badly about. I never should have done it. I'm sorry. Then you hope the person forgives you. This was not that. This was, I went 18 instead of 5 up to Black Rock Tolls. So she's like... It's a sitcom, kind of. She's like, okay, if you write an apology, we'll... I said this is going to be short, didn't I? She's like, if you write an apology, then you can have your Easy Pass back. Like, I'm not sorry. I mean, I just it's not exactly how I felt. So I go home and I tell my wife about the conversation. She's like, you're kidding me, right? You're not even going to do that? They're telling you it can be over if you just write a stupid letter. You're not going to write the letter? I'm like, all right, I'll write the letter.
You could have just wrote a letter saying it was dumb. And not technically apologize. And
maybe that's what I did. I don't remember exactly if I wrote, I am sorry. But I wrote something and it was over. The story was over. Well, the story lives on. I mean, it's almost 20 years ago.
Did you ever calculate how much money you spent to have that story?
No, because I would feel worse. Instead of paying 8 cents, I paid a dollar. So it's, you know, what? It's almost the whole amount. It's like $8
a week over however many weeks.
Yeah, a couple years. At least a couple years. It was, I don't know if it's 8 cents, 11 cents. You live on the island at some low amount like that, resident. But I don't think it mattered that I was a resident anymore if I'm just paying in cash. I was paying the same amount as you would, or someone who lives in France. Anywhere. Didn't matter. What's the Deshaun Watson story?
Oh, so...
Sorry, everybody.
I
hope somebody liked it.
The Deshaun Watson story is from Jeremy Fowler at ESPN, like, what is it, 2 hours after Ian Rappaport had that Houston will not trade him? Like, even at, they don't see the draft or free agency as deadlines. So now Jeremy Fowler reports that Watson is willing to sit out the preseason and and miss regular season games if he isn't traded by the Texans. He could incur $3 million plus in fines in the process, but Watson does not care. I'm told the relationship is simply too far gone.
Yeah. You know, we guess at all these. We guess about what Jeff Skinner might have said or done. We guess about what Russell Wilson has been doing. We guess about Watson. And so it's only a guess, right? But it's sports talk, and we make our guesses anyway. Mine on Watson is that he is principled. And he strikes me as somebody that would say it. If he's going to say it, he's going to mean it, and he's going to do it. That's how Watson comes across to me. He's big in his charity. He's made a lot of money. He'd make a lot more. I mean, he's in breach of his contract if he doesn't show up. But, I don't know, Kaepernick did it. Like, he to me seems like somebody who would, no, this is what I'm doing. No idle threats. Now, I didn't think Le'Veon Bell was that way, as I remember it, and he also, if that's what Watson does, he held to what he said, that he wasn't going to play. Jeremy Fowler was the reporter on that, too. Remember the night where it was like Bell was going to be back by week 10 or something?
Yes.
And then he wasn't?
Yeah.
That was the same guy.
That could be Watson also, although... If he told the coach he has no intention of playing for the team again, I don't know if he's showing up week 11 to get that accrued season of his contract. Because what's he going to do, sell 3 years? I mean, he could do that if it ever got that far. He could just show up week 10 for the next 3 years and the contract's over.
Houston, go get your draft picks and be done. Suck it up. Go get your draft picks and be done.
Isn't that also – I would still want to consider that the most likeliest outcome.
Me too. No, that's what I would expect to have happen, but the Texans don't seem to think of it that way.
I think him playing for them week one is like the least likeliest outcome. Because I agree, like with everything you said about Watson, I think he is true to his word that he's not playing.
We will talk to Sigmund Bloom in about 20 minutes and get his take on what to do here from a fantasy perspective, too. More and more people are playing fantasy football year-round, dynasty leagues. They're just exploding in popularity. And so Joe and I talked about it. If you listen to the show, you probably know that Joe and I are both really into it. And we thought, why not? So, and Bulldog isn't as into it as we are. He's on vacation. I guess the mice will play a little bit. We'll talk to Sigmund in just a few minutes. And Watson is one question I have for him. 803-0550 is the number. Also next hour, Joe Lunardi. Bracketology. NCAA basketball. Joe Lunardi from ESPN coming up then. Speaking of ESPN, there's quick news on the Monday Night Football package. And I'll have that for you next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
So first, I enjoy my interactions with the media here in Buffalo, but I get a summation of what's going on out there, but I do not follow the noise outside of our inner sanctum here. There's no time if I'm going to get any balance in my life. So I can feel the energy that comes through the questions. I enjoy hard questions because they give me the opportunity to also process and to think about what we're doing, and I respect that. But any noise coming from the outside, Kevin and ownership has been amazing at understanding the space that I need as a head coach to be able to work properly and to have the energy I need.
It's comments like these from Ralph Krueger that we've all heard many times by now that make me really like him. I want to like him because I feel like that's all, you know, of course, believable. I shouldn't say of course, for what I'm about to say next. I feel like it's believable and it seems genuine, and you know, I can relate to it a little bit. Like I think, okay, good. I just cannot believe he wouldn't have talked to Kevin Adams about Adams getting a call from Jeff Skinner's agent. He got a question about that today, and he told the reporter who asked it that he didn't even know about it. And you know, Krueger, like I'm giving him credit here for the kind of thinker that he sounds like he is. I don't even know. You might tell me that's already going too far, trying too hard. But I kind of like his mind. But how is that possible? They talk about talking all the time, he and Adams. Paul Hamilton said that too. He's heard that them say it. And he wouldn't, I mean, fans all knew about that yesterday. It makes Adams look bad. I don't expect coaches to always be honest. Of course, they're always trying to protect people, players who are struggling, whatever. I mean, Kruger's got a very positive vibe to him when he's talking, like most of these guys do. But when he says he didn't talk to his general manager or didn't even know about that conversation, it makes the whole organization look terrible. Because what you want as a fan, what you want from out here is for them to talk about those things. Obviously they would at length. Like, we've got a problem. What do you think? How do we fix it? Ownership too. If you own the team, wouldn't you care a lot about this? It's not noise. It's not a distraction from your life. It's an important issue. And if he sounds like he's treating it as one, he says he is, but then he goes and says that he didn't talk to Adams, didn't even know about the conversation. Man, if I'm Adams, I'm pissed. Because you're just making me look like a puppet. Like I what? You're gonna say we didn't have a conversation about that? That's bad. I mean, that's really bad. Coaches come and go. Most of them lose all the time around here with the Sabres. Whatever. It's not personal. They just didn't get the job done. But you know, you can't do that to your GM. You can't do that to your ownership. You didn't even know. If it's true, it's a terrible job on them, and I just can't believe it would be true in the case of Adams. Now, we haven't heard from him in a long time, and it'd be nice to have him do that. He's not going to want to escalate it if he knows what he's doing. Adams isn't going to want to escalate the situation. He's probably got another reason here today to stand back, which maybe he was kind of tired of. I don't know. But, you know, Krueger makes him look terrible by saying that they hadn't had the conversation, and at some point, maybe Adams will speak for himself on that, but it's not a good job at all by the coach. Not that all of this is, or any of this is. Here is Tim next. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I want to talk about the Jeff Skinner situation. The thing I don't understand is Kruger came in last year. He took over a team that, as we know, has had trouble scoring goals for years. He took a player who has, you know, 320 goal seasons, 330 goal seasons. He had a career year last year, 40 goals, of which 32 of those were scored at 5-on-5. He took that player, and his first major move was he took that player off of the top line. So you have something that's working, right? I mean, if you get 32 goals out of any player that's 5-on-5, that works. That's tremendous production at 5-on-5. The first thing you do is you take him off that line. You give him a center of Marcus Johansson to start that very next season, who isn't even a true center. You give him a left winger, Vladimir Sobotka, who is maybe a third line winger at best on a bad team.
He was the worst player in the league the year before that, measurably.
Yeah. So why are you taking your top goal scorer from the year before and setting him up to fail? Why wouldn't you keep him on that top line? Because it worked. That worked. You got 40 goals out of the guy. You got 32 5-on-5 goals. And the guy who replaced him, Victor Olofsson, doesn't score 5-on-5. Olofsson has now played like 76, 77, 78 career games, most of them with Jack Eichel. He has 10. He has a third of the production that you got out of Skinner.
Well, look,
he still leaves him there, and he won't put Skinner back on that line.
Look, Tim, I mean, why would you do it? I'm with you, but why would you do it? You would do it if coaches can move players around in the lineup to get the best overall team. That's the point. He's not trying to help Jeff Skinner set goals records. He's trying to win the most games. So, okay, fine. You're going to do that, but you'd better succeed. And if you don't, then it makes sense to think you'll go back to something that worked. Now, that hasn't happened. The team hasn't won, which is kind of, for me, I'm left at, like, so what are we even talking about? Like, he doesn't have, Kruger doesn't have the track record. He doesn't have the footing here where he can say, my way works. He doesn't have that. He's got almost 100 games here. He doesn't have that at all. He has not improved the team in terms of their record since before what they were before he got here. And so it's not even that interesting, really. Like, of course. Now, they don't have to win more with Skinner up top, and that's the other point. Like, you want to make the best overall team. The Sabres have a line, the Eakin line, that gets stomped on. Like, this player is helping getting them beat. They seem to always have Sobotka. You mentioned him. He was one of these guys too. And Housley would come on WGR and talk about his value. Like, that's where, as somebody that likes the numbers, that's where I get angry. Because you're not even looking. You're just not even looking. Last night, Eakin, it was a disaster. And they lose the game in overtime. Like, you know, when is this coach going to notice that? When is he going to act like he notices that? Anyway, as I contend to do, I just ended up at 5 or 6 different points there. I don't like it. It just always comes back to me, Tim, thanks for the call. It comes back to me to, how do you own this team and let this happen? You want it. Kruger said today he was grateful to have the autonomy, the room to do that, but it's got to be temporary at least. It's got to be temporary. Because I cannot pay an asset like Skinner to watch games with me. He would have to be on the ice for me. And he's worth way more to my overall than the coach is. Sigmund Bloom next. We'll talk some football here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.